You had a little music in your voice.
Great is our God, and he's greatly to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, we thank God, for this is the day that he has made. We rejoice, and we are glad in it. Certainly thank God for Deacon McClain in devoting us, posturing our hearts toward heaven's way to hear from God. We are blessed to have sensitive ears and hearts that's soft for the receptivity of God's holy word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. You're blessed to be in this place.
Amen.
You're blessed to be in this place. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. Amen. I'm a church member. That's something major, not something minute. I'm a church member. Amen. We ought to look upon it as significant. Look upon it as knowing that we are blessed, that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light and positioned us in Christ. You got some reverb. Positioned us in Christ. That's why the Bible says if we are in Christ we are blessed. So I'm a church member. I want you to work that in your spirit. Work that in your spirit. Work that in your minds and in your hearts. That you don't let people and the devil cause you to think nothing of where God has called you to be and where he has positioned you to be and what he is doing through your membership, because you're not just a church member. You are to be a functioning, amen, church member. That's chapter 1 of our book, beginning with page 1, or beginning with page 9, I will be a functioning church member. I will be a functioning church member. All right. We had the reading on last Tuesday. I want to return to our lesson at hand, being a functional. And I want to deal with several aspects of what membership means. Number one, membership means that we are all necessary parts of the whole. We are all necessary parts of the whole. And to understand that we are all necessary parts of the whole, we look at Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. Amen. What it means that all of us are necessary parts. That means that you are significant. In chapter 12, he gives the image of the body. That the church is a unified whole. It's a unified whole. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. You don't ever want to submit the church to your opinion. Your preference. Because it is not designed to, you know, operate according to your opinion. Nor is it designed to operate, you know, to satisfy your preference. Amen. Now let me tell you what church is. Church is the one place where you come in and forget about what you are out there. You know, everybody has to come to the cross alike to be saved.
Yes, sir.
So regardless of what your, you know, social status, you know, what your occupation is, you may be a lawyer, you may be a doctor, you may be an educator, whatever the case is, when you come in into the body of Christ, all of who you are out there doesn't matter, because you have to come to the cross of Christ to be saved like everybody else. Doesn't matter what your social economical status is, you can have money flowing out of all of your pockets, out of your purse and your wallet. You can have a healthy account at banks where they call you Mr. or Miss. But when you come to the Lord, and to be a member of the body, none of that matters. Amen. Amen. So it's not dependent on who you related to. You know, your biological makeup. You know, your heritage and all of that. Who you related to, who you know uptown and downtown. Who you got on speed dial. No, when you come to church, that doesn't matter. And I'm not trying to run down any position, and I'm not trying to run down, you know, any occupation or career. I'm not doing that. But what I'm trying to say to us is, if you are to be a part of the body of Christ, there is no big you and little I. We all on the same plane. All of us are saved alike. All of us are born into the body of Christ. So listen, the church is a unified whole. So the unity of the church is reflective in the oneness of the body. It's reflective in the oneness of the body. The unity of the church is reflective in the oneness of the body. Now, notice in verses 1 through 3, the Corinthians needed knowledge of spiritual gifts.
Yes, sir.
Now, I said to us last week that every born again, blood bought child of God has at least one gift.
Yes, sir.
And your gift is your function. It's what God has spiritually endowed you with, so that you contribute to the functionality of the church. That you are not to be a spectator, but to be a participator with your spiritual gift. They needed knowledge of spiritual gifts. You know, we need knowledge because we think spiritual gifts are for certain denominations. You know, we don't think, you know, spiritual gifts are for Baptists. We don't intensely study spiritual gifts to know how God wants to use us to advance the body, to cause functionality in the body. So everyone has a spiritual gift. Everyone has a spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift. If you saved, you have at least one spiritual gift. So they needed knowledge. They needed knowledge of spiritual gifts. That's verses 1 through 3. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians 12. I would not have you ignorant. Now, ignorance simply means not to know. So he says, I would not have you with lack of knowledge. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost in endow you with an ability for the function of the body. Now, we think about tongues. You know, that's the big thing now. You know, people say, well, if you're going to be saved, you know, the evidence of your salvation and you being born again is speaking in tongues. No, that's not the evidence, because the Bible clearly says that everyone won't speak in tongues. And then you need to understand the types of tongues, that the Bible deals with a new tongue. The Bible deals with different tongues. And the Bible deals with an unknown tongue. And they give italics to help us understand which type tongue the writer is speaking of when you're reading through the Bible.
Yes,
sir. For instance, you see in 1 Corinthians 12, there's different tongues, which mean languages. But in 14, you see unknown tongue, which is a mysteristic language that's spoken by one who's born again unto God, but it does nothing to edify the body.
Amen.
And he says, I would that you speak not with an unknown tongue, because you speak as a barbarian. There's a new, which means he clean up your talk. You know, the old church would say the things I used to say, I don't say anymore. So there's a new tongue. There's a different tongue. There's unknown tongue. He says, I would that you not be ignorant, acting out of ignorance. You know, you can be inspired and ignorant. You can misuse the gift. Or misuse the gift because you don't have knowledge and understanding of what spiritual gifts are for. Spiritual gifts are not so that you look powerful. You know, you look spiritual. No, that's not what the spiritual gifts are for. What the spiritual gifts are for is for service unto others. That's why he's dealing with the members in the body, being that is made up of more than just you, more than just one member. Because, you know, again, we have 59 one another statements in the New Testament. So that's how we should minister to one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, how we should relate to one another. So the spiritual gifts gives us the ability or the abilities to minister to one another. Because this is one thing you can't do without the Spirit. If you're void of the Spirit, then you're not functional. That's why you can't take a sinner off the street without conversion and put them in place in church and expect them to function. You know, we good at that, you know, trying to win folks over through, you know, involving them in the church without a conversion. No, they need a conversion. I'm teaching better than y'all saying amen. So he says you need knowledge. But then notice in verses 4 through 11, he deals with diversity. Diversity, diversity. There is unity of origin and purpose in spiritual gifts, but there is diversity. Now, you have to be okay with being different. He didn't call you to be a carbon copy of someone else. He made you unique in who you are. And he knew your abilities and inabilities when he called you. But listen, he really don't need your abilities. What he need is your attitude right and your availability, and the Holy Spirit will give you the ability.
Yes, amen.
So he talks about diversity, diversity, diversity in verses 4 through 11. Let me read it for you. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. Now, don't miss that word profit. Listen to it again. But the manifestation of the Spirit. So, the manifestation, there has to be something seen. There has to be evidence. If you are born again, anytime a supernatural spirit, supernatural being like the Holy Ghost come and live in a natural man, he makes the natural man supernatural. So there has to be a manifestation, are y'all with me, of the Spirit. And it's given to every man to profit the body. So it has to be profitable, advantageous. You see it? For the body. Now notice what he said in verse 8. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. By the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. You see this? To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, notice how he keeps to another, to another, to another. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. So you don't choose your gift. No, your gift is given by the Spirit to profit the body.
Yes, sir.
So you don't choose. Notice he says to another, to another, to another. Now he first deals with diversities of gifts. A gift of grace, which means it is not something you earn.
Amen. Amen.
You don't earn speaking in languages. You don't earn healing. Come on, talk to me. You don't earn workings of miracles. You don't earn faith. Notice it's by the Spirit. You don't earn knowledge by the Spirit. That's a spiritual endowment. So he says to another, to another, to another. He says diversities of gifts. So you receive these gifts without any merit. Because you accepted Jesus Christ, he gave you a gift or gifts. My God, help me. Now, your gift may not be something you like doing. You know how we try to, well, you know, God give you what you like doing. God is not like your employment. He gives you what he sees necessary for you to do.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not.
Amen.
You think everybody preaching love preaching? You think everybody running toward preaching? Saying, well, Lord, you know, you called me free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, it takes your whole life. Everybody's not running toward preaching. He has given you the spirit of preaching and the gift of preaching. But that's a tall order. So you may not like it. But it's not predicated upon whether you like it or not.
Because the first thing you got to do for the gift to operate is get self out the way. Oh, I know y'all don't like this kind of teaching. You know, because y'all into this self-improvement and self, you know, desire, and y'all into all of this self. And you think God got to work according to what you feel and what you think and your opinion and all of that kind of. No, that's not how it works. He gives you a spiritual endowment for the function of the body. And listen, your life is blessed.
Amen.
Your life is blessed when you put that gift into operation.
Amen.
When God can use you for what he has blessed you to do and what he has gifted you to do, Lord God will open the window of heaven. He'll pour you out blessings upon your life when he can use you to do what he has gifted you to do. Oh my. He talks about differences of administrations, and the word differences is same as diversities, which is he's talking about ministerings, how you minister, administration, how you minister. You don't all minister the same, but you should minister. Now, the word minister or ministry simply means to meet needs. Don't run from need meeting.
Amen.
Don't ignore needs that exist around you, because the reason they are around you,
amen,
is because God has situated them around you.
Amen.
Stop thinking it's someone else's responsibility.
Yes, sir.
And stop using the church as a cop-out because, you know, we say, well, the church can do it. No, he has gifted you.
Yes,
he has gifted you. And he has placed those needs right in your presence to see if you would operate your spiritual gift to satisfy the need.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Boy. These administrations, service of those by the command of God, proclaimed and given to promote religion among men. We drive by people, we walk by people that God has situated in our lives, placed in our lives, and we have our gifts shut off. Because we don't understand the function of the body. That you don't have to be in the sanctuary to be functional.
Amen.
Yeah. He deals with differences of administration. Then he deals with diversities of operations. Working. And effect. That God has called you to work. To work.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a retired Christian. He has called you to work. Some of you have retired from the choir, you know. Retired from the usher ministry. You know, your knees don't bother you until you get to church. You walking in Walmart all day pushing a shopping cart. And you're not leaning on the shopping cart either. And your knees don't hurt you until you get to church. Because you want a reason to retire from the usher ministry. Yeah. You can't retire from being a Christian. calls you to work, and it's working. See, when he talks about diversities of operations, he's talking about workings of the Spirit. This is how, or what should be your posture to the Spirit. You ever watched a bank robbing movie and they get caught in the bank, and if they don't have a shootout, that means they surrender. And they said, come out with your hands up. And they stumble on out the bank with their hands up, which means that they are totally at the mercies of the officers. When you're dealing with the Spirit of God, you want to be totally at the mercy of the Spirit. At the leadership of the Spirit. Some things the Spirit will say, you may not understand. Some things he may say that you should say or tell you to say, you don't understand. But the person you are to say it to needs what you are going to say, because the Spirit wants to minister to them. Through grace. To build them up. So you have to yield to the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit. Resist the Spirit. And grieve the Spirit. So there are operations. He deals with these differences in verses 4 through 11. And then verses 12 through 26, he deals with the need for diversity in the body. That he says we're all baptized into the body, which means to be submerged into the body. Are y'all with me? And then in verse 8, he deals with the word. But this word is not grandma, is logos, which means an act of speaking with use of knowledge. That you don't open your mouth when you are under the control of the Spirit in ignorance. So logos, act of speaking, spoken word of God, that all of us are to speak the word of God and speak it in its context. There are a lot of folks breach the context. That what they think it's saying is really not saying it. Because they take it out of context. They want it to say this, but it's really not saying it. So we are to open our mouth. There's an act of speaking. All of us have the responsibility, the call to speak the word of God. You don't have to be a preacher. Amen. To speak the word of God. Amen. Spiritual gift. He says, word of knowledge. Verse 9, he deals with gift of healing. Again, the word gift is a favor. It means favor, grace, gift. Healing, it means healing remedy. It means medicine. Amen. Amen. So he's not rooting out doctors. Medicine. If you read the word of God, you understand that there were doctors then. Amen. Let me give you one. The woman with the issue of blood. Amen. She spent her money. That's right. Going from what? But she grew worse. But that's not to say that medicine is no good. Because what the text is revealing is Jesus as the great physician.
Amen.
You know, Timothy had a little stomach issue. And Paul says, drink a little wine. Now, don't y'all act like you have a stomach issue. He says, drink a little what? Wine for your stomach's sake. That was to bring about what? Healing.
Amen.
See, what we try to do is to make God to just one act, that it have to happen one way. But he's dealing with gifts of healing, that God has put special people in your life with the spiritual endowment to bring about healing in your life.
Amen.
Here's another one in verse 10. He says miracles, which means force, ability, wonderful works, deliverance from evil.
Amen.
You see this? Every time Jesus healed, it was a wonderful work. It was force. It was ability. You know, he healed to deliver from evil.
Amen.
You know, particularly when he delivered from demonic possession, he was delivering from evil.
Amen.
When he healed and delivered from, you know, sin, evil. So he would exercise ability, force, to deliver from evil. I said to us earlier that spiritual gifts are not given to us so that we look big. And then to catch the attention of people so they'll see us as being some super figure. No, that's not why he gives us spiritual endowment. You know, so that, you know, we can walk around like airheads bragging about who we heal.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we have gotten so bad now, we have charged, we start charging folk for healing. And, you know, if you know anything about the Bible, when Simon asks to purchase the Holy Spirit, he says it can't be bought. He can't be bought. That's simony. You can't buy favor, not from God. That's why it's favor. That you can't buy favor. That is unmerited, it's unearned. You can't purchase it. So we're not to exercise the spiritual ability that God has given us to draw attention to ourselves. We are to exercise the spiritual ability that God has given us to minister to another.
Amen.
You know, when COVID hit, I was trying to figure out what happened to all the healers. You know, people with healing power, you know, before COVID hit, you know, they had lines in their church.
Amen.
And they were, you know, knocking folks out and knocking folks on the floor. And they were getting up declaring they were healed. But when the COVID hit, they went and hid. I just think if you got, you know, a gift of healing, you should have been down at the hospital where the folks were dying at. Saying like Jesus, pick up your bed and walk. Come out of here. But it seemed like the spirit, the healing gift went out when COVID hit. In severe cases, it seemed like, you know, people went into hiding with the gift. I got to quit this. So listen, we are to exercise spiritual gifts for functionality. Now, I want the church I belong to, the church I pastor, to be fully functional. That means I have a whole lot of work to do in terms of teaching about these spiritual gifts, because we got to tap in. We got to tune into the spiritual gift and not be afraid to use the spiritual gifts for the function of the body.
Amen.
Got a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do, a lot of teaching to do. So listen, we need all of the members to be functional. All of the members to be functional. So membership means We are all different, but we still work together for the function of the whole. If all members had the same gift, there would be no functionality.
Amen.
No member can say he or she is not important. That's why I'm hammering this, so you understand that you are vitally important to the function of the body. Okay? No member can say to another member, you are not important. So we have to function. Listen, each part, that means every last one of us, each part should do its work or the whole body will suffer. So if you're a hand, be a hand. If you are a foot, be a foot. If you're an ear, be an ear. If you're an eye, be an eye.
Amen.
But now in being a hand, foot, ear, eye, be where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
Now if you know you're a foot, you know you ain't got no business being up here.
Amen.
And if you're a hand, you know you ain't got no business being on side of the foot. If you're an eye, you know you ain't got no business being attached to the knee. So you have to be where you're supposed to be for function, right? So that your particular area of ministry don't go lacking, which causes the whole body to suffer. And be dysfunctional because you're not operating where you are to operate. Functionality. So no member can say to another member, you're not important. Neither can a member say of himself or self, I'm not important. All of us are important for the function of the body. If one part do not do its job, the whole body does not function well. See, the people you see, the people you don't see, there's a lot that go on for the operation of the church. You got people that count you don't ever see. They don't count out front. You don't ever see. You have people that transport what they count from church to bank so that we can pay the light bill. And the water bill. And you can have this cold air blowing on you. Yeah, a lot of function. When repairs are needed to be made. You know, you have people that operate in different areas to make sure, you know, that repairs are made. You have people that operate in areas of ministry you don't see that make sure that things stay balanced. I meet with an advisory committee to make sure that there's balance. You don't see that. But it's necessary. You know, the ladies that deal with the baptism, I talk with them this evening. That's necessary. You don't ever hardly see them out front. Matter of fact, they don't ever come from behind the wall, but they are necessary for the function. Orientation teacher and Sunday school teachers, functional, necessary for function.
Amen.
You know, just a conversation. Because, you know, we'll see in Romans chapter 12, you have some people that are encouragers. That's a spiritual endowment.
Yeah.
Some people that come by old pastor and just hit him on the shoulder several times and say, Pastor, you know, you're doing a good job. Thank you. And then they say, you know, it's going to be all right. And just keep on fighting, Pastor. Keep on fighting. I said, thank you for that word of encouragement. You know, we're praying for you, don't you? See, all of that is necessary
for the function of the church. And listen, people that you see working, people that you don't, you know working, why don't you give them a kind word? Just thank God for you. You know, we are more functional. So every part is necessary. Let me close out with this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, often I hear people say, you know, what great job I do as a pastor, am I doing as a pastor? But pastors, leaders are nothing without followers. Y'all get it? So as I'm honored, you're honored. Go off to preach. And I have pastors say to me, New Bethlehem has some kind of pastor. I say, I have some kind of people. Because you can have some folks that don't give you any time to study. You'll be coming out there with some popcorn preaching. But when you got members that say, well, pastor, you know, you go on into the secret closet and we want you to be preaching. We praying for you to be preaching. When one is honored, all is honored. But when one suffers, listen, I know how to come down and suffer with you. To identify with you in the midst of your struggle. I was taught in seminary, don't run from people when they have need. You know, some of the greatest times of ministry is when you go into a hospital or you going into a house or home and you have a chance of ministering to people when they have done away with the mask. Let me show you what I'm saying. You go to that hospital. They ain't trying to put on like they so holy.
Amen.
Like they all got it together, especially if somebody low ill.
Amen.
You see them crying, saying things like, Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to make it.
Amen.
See, at church, you know, we put on. How you doing today? Blessed and highly favored. If it get any better, I can't stand it. Get to the hospital, you ain't saying none of that. How things going? Well, I don't know how things going. As the old folk where I'm from, they say you got a little tuning up in your voice. Or you going to a house and a loved one has passed away.
Amen.
And you having to share the word. Don't go in there totally contrary to that person's mental state, emotional state.
Amen.
You have to come down and identify with.
Amen.
See, that's a gift. So that you can minister properly.
Amen.
To that person. You get a call some of these nights, 11 and 12. And I always ask, do you need me there? And even if they say no, I start getting dressed.
Amen.
Because they want to know if I care.
Amen.
I cared enough to get up out that bed and come see about you.
Amen.
Care enough to put foot to gas pedal and go come see you in them hospitals and things, because that's where it's real. And that's an opportunity to minister.
Amen.
Listen,
opportunities that's set before you, God set them before you.
Yes.
So that you can exercise your spiritual gifts. Listen, the more you exercise your gift, the better you'll be. In allowing the gift to operate more and more freely in your life.
Yes.
You don't have to know the whole Bible.
Amen.
God can work with John 3:16. You don't have to know the whole Bible. God can work with Psalm 30 verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy come in the morning.
Amen.
You don't have to know the whole Bible.
Amen.
He can work with Nahum 1. God is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And listen, if you put it there, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. The things you should say. All right, that's our time. Any questions? Any questions? That's our time. Any questions? All right. Absolutely. Now, you're going to be strange to the world, but you shouldn't be strange to the church.
Amen.
You know? Yeah. Anyone? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And then you can't be talk tongues. If it's a spiritual endowment, you can't be talked tongues.
Amen.
If you taught it, then that's a transfer from one person to another. But when you are endowed, that's a gift that has come upon you. Just for instance, I went to Africa. Now, it didn't happen with me. Now, I wish I could speak African. Now, if I would have got over there and I started, and no, I had never spoke African before. Swahili, Hehele, and everything else. I don't know. But I'm just trying to say that's different tongues. I didn't have that, but we had interpreters now. We had people there that God had endowed to translate from English to their native language. That makes sense? So, you know, no, you can't be taught. That's how it happens. The spiritual gift come upon you and you all of a sudden speak in that language. That's just like the day of Pentecost. You think every man heard the word in his own native tongue. Peter was preaching and every man heard the word in his own native tongue. So what happened is this. When Peter released the word, the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of the word and translated the word into the different languages so all of the people in the upper room could hear it. So that's a spiritual endowment. Spiritual endowment. All right, anyone else? All right, her question is, how do you get people who with gifts to work if they have to miss being in the service, in the sanctuary, the worship experience? And her word to them was, when you have a spiritual gift you serve, you may have to sacrifice. You may need to make some adjustments technically so that they can at least get a video version of what's taking place in the sanctuary, so they can work in those particular areas. All right? All right. Anyone else? Y'all quiet. I can't hardly hear you. Right, but now, unknown tongues, no man can interpret. Now, that's language that can be interpreted, which is in chapter 12. But when you get to chapter 14, he said that's a communication between God and the speaker. So we have to really put emphasis on that. Now say that again. Say it one more time.
You feel worse when you leave than before you got here. So I don't feel like I'm being blessed because I'm not enjoying it. You see what I'm saying? When you say it's not about us.
Well, the first thing, you have to understand that he didn't call you to enjoy this. Because when God go to cutting on you, you ain't going to enjoy surgery. No, you ain't going to like that. You know, I don't know of too many people that run into a surgery room and say, you know, I got to have an operation today. God is going to be dealing with you. And the first thing he has to do is get self out of the way. Self is our worst enemy.
Amen.
You know, I try to help young people, you know, stop blaming other folks and look at self. And then you can't be so self-privileged and self-preferenced. Self-entitled. You know, you hear people say things like, I didn't enjoy the song today. It wasn't sang to you. It was unto the Lord. And what you were supposed to have done is join in to sing unto the Lord. You know, and most of the time we don't like the song because we don't like the song leader. Uh-huh. Y'all got the cameras off up there, don't you? Well, Ray, you got the camera off? Y'all done cut Facebook off, haven't you? Huh? Cut us off. Let me go on. Let me have me. Yeah, they can't get this edition here. Yeah. Y'all may have to go back and edit some of that, man. Get some. You got me off now? Huh? Okay, well, man. That Ray do what he want to do, don't he? But, all right, so, but, you know, it's not for us to like. You know, it's not for us to like, you know. It's.
You don't enjoy preaching.
Not all the time. I'll be honest. It's like a man getting up in the morning saying, I'm going to run 3 miles. You know? You say, you know, when you start out, you'd be like, Lord, have mercy. And you may get on into the run and, you know, hey, your sack of wind kick in, but until you get to there, you kind of thinking about quitting. You know, you get to this mailbox, you know, you start looking at mailbox. Now, when I get to the next mailbox, I'm going to quit. And then you say, well, I'm going to just go on to the next mailbox, and you just keep on going. And but the truth is, you know, no man enjoys preaching all the time. You know, no one enjoys doing what they enjoy doing all the time. You know, just I'm just a realist now, and I'm not speaking down on preaching because I know that's my gift. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel.
Amen.
But you know, sometimes it's harder than others.
Amen.
You know, as a pastor, you see people, they enjoying themselves. You know, when I leave tonight, I got tomorrow morning. And then when I get to tomorrow morning, I got Sunday morning. And it's just constant. I have a Saturday meeting if we had the council. That I had is just constant. And I'm built for it. But, you know, you don't just wake up all the time and say, you know what? I just love this all the time. You know, sometimes ministry weigh on you. You kind of try to figure out, where did the word go? You know, you're looking at the life of folk and you don't see, you know, a whole lot of evidence of the preaching. And all that you've been teaching and says, Lord, what happened? I know I'm preaching. So, but it's not about like,
amen.
You know, get rid of that.
Amen.
You know, we taught in the world that, you know, you call to what you like doing, but that's not necessarily true about preaching.
Amen.
That's not necessarily true about the work of the kingdom. Now you love God now, because in the next chapter, now we're going to deal with love. Love is sacrificial. We're going to deal with love next chapter 13. And we're going to see how love deals with self to serve others. So,
amen.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let me have one more since they still got me on camera. You know? Y'all giving them the full version tonight. All right. One more. Now, you're not guided by them.
Amen.
You're guided by him.
Amen. Amen.
People, you know, they'll talk you out of anything. You know, I hear people tell me all the time, you're gonna kill yourself when it comes to ministry. But you know, we preach ministry under God being priority, right? So they say things like you're going to kill yourself and all that kind of thing. But I don't ever hear people talk about killing themselves going to a baseball game. We can go to 5 baseball games a week. And it don't have, according to us, nothing but a good effect on us. But we can do too much church according to some folks. See how we kind of twist it up? Kind of twist it up. Now, and then this is the truth. He has called us to a sacrifice. Let me tell you what this is doing to me. It's working death in me while it's working life in you. It's literally killing me. That's the word. In you know, Paul talks about this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's literally killing me. But that's the sacrifice that we take on, the suffering of Christ for your good.
Amen.
You know, if you don't appreciate a pastor, there's a reason to appreciate one.
Amen.
Because it's literally killing him.
Amen.
It's literally killing a pastor.
Amen.
And I'm not just saying it because I'm up here. Well, I am saying it because I'm up here, but I'm saying it, you know. I want y'all to know y'all killing me. but I'm dying a good death. That's why he says we are living and dying at the same time. We are being renewed inwardly, but the outer man is perishing. You know. Now I understand why my body has to go through so much. Because it's a great sacrifice.
Yes.
It's a great sacrifice. And that's the call. That's the call, you know. And I used to say this to Joseph Creek, and I'm done. I used to say this to Joseph Creek all the time. I don't want to rust out. I want to wear out. Listen, when y'all lower me down, you're going to say, gosh, what a pastor. That man gave it all he had. That's why I couldn't stop during the pandemic, because that's the requirement of God, that we put our life on the line so that you can receive life.
Amen.
Working death in us.
Amen.
While it's working life in you. Yeah. I understand the assignment. Let us stand. Sister Harris, come on up and talk about your appeal, baby. Come on. We have a prayer retreat coming up. And amen. Amen. And I want her to share that with us so we'll be in tune and in touch with.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
In 2 weeks, May the 20th, Saturday, May the 20th, we'll be having our 27th annual Women's Annual Prayer Retreat. We are expecting at least 175 people. And this year, we are including our youth because they're experiencing so many issues. So this is going to be kind of big for us, and we need everyone's support and to give freely. We need this money, which will cover our expenditures for the prayer retreat. We have speakers from outside our church family that's coming in to assist us with our youth and for the women. But we need New Bethlehem to help us monetarily. We did have our first appeal on this past Sunday. And I think the announcement went over their head because it was first Sunday and then we had the graduates here. But coming up this Sunday, please come prepared to give so we can cover our expenses. We want it to be free to the participants, and we are serving a lunch. So we need money to cover that. So if you would, please remember to come prepared to give. If you need to write a check, you can make this check out to New Bethlehem, and on the memo line, write for the matrons. That way it will be distributed appropriately and not in the church general fund. So not only that, we want all ladies of all ages to come. Not only come, bring someone with you. We are expecting God to move in a powerful way because we all need prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job. All right. You see.
Hello. I want to announce that women, we are expecting to go to the concert on Friday night. May 12th. Ladies, have a good time. We found out after purchasing tickets that our son is graduating May 12th, Friday at 6:30 p.m. So I do apologize for not being able to be there, but I do want you all to go and have a great time, post pictures, and just enjoy God. Thank you.
Amen. Now, Mother's Day is Sunday. Mother's Day is Sunday. We're going to try to do it big for your mothers. Now, don't y'all play us down when it's Father's Day. You know, y'all don't give us a rose. You just give us a petal. So we're going to try to do it big. We're looking forward to having a wonderful time Sunday. So Mother's Day Sunday. Listen, pray for us as we travel back to Mississippi to celebrate the graduation of our youngest son, Titus. He has graduated with an engineering degree. And God has blessed him with a job. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to ask him for a little some now. So pray for his transition. In June, he has to move to Knoxville. He has a job offer in Knoxville. So pray for Titus and his transition. And pray for us as we travel over the weekend. Come back. Now, I'll be here Sunday. I'm not going to miss Mother's Day. Y'all won't let me live it down. I'm going to be here for Mother's Day. Amen. So y'all be here with us. Listen, Sister Harris made an announcement. She said 100 and something, but the Lord pressed in my spirit. We need to do a recruitment for women all over the city that we at least need 500. And we can do it by word of mouth. Get on the phone and call, and your relative, make them commit to coming with you. 3 times 75, that'll get it, right? So let's try to make an impact, because listen, a lot of hurt exists, and at least 500. That's members and people within our city, you know, within Birmingham. Get on the phone and rally. And if, listen, they want to give a donation, that's fine. But like she said, she wanted to be free to the participant, but at least 500. Find you somebody, 2 people. Okay, will you do that?